Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review IDW's Transformers Issue 10. Director Michael Bay talks about his time with the Transformers movie franchise and say hello to Aquanaut, the underwater Transformer. Today is Friday, August 9th, 2019, and this is episode 141 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that has a new Patreon goal, getting enough money to buy a real-life transforming Aquabot. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
It's pronounced Aquabat.
Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
I'm pretty sure it's Aquanaut. Let's talk Transformers.
All right. As always, we thank our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal, for continuing to support the show. And if you would like to join those hallowed ranks, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support, and you can sign up and become a member. If you don't want to do that, or if you do, you can still buy some merchandise from us from our TeePublic store, and that is at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And we've got lots of cool t-shirt designs on there, done by us, for us, and we hope you...
Done by us, for you. Let's try that.
Yeah.
Why is it for me?
You fucked up, Charles.
For the audience.
Done by us, for you.
We make it so our audience will look even better.
But we get the money.
Right. Okay. You're not in sales, are you? You're not.
Clearly, he does not have a doctorate in marketing.
Clearly.
Anyway, check out other designs by a friend of the show and awesome artist K Girl at tpublic.com/user/superstarK. For her by you.
You're terrible.
We're losing Charles really quick.
Also, I want to extend an awesome congratulations to Brad, who won the July Toy Hacks $10 gift code in this Wednesday's Transmissions episode 341. Congratulations, Brad. Hope you enjoy it. Show us the toys you got stickered up. And also, we have Empire of Rust episode 3 that came out this Monday. So if you haven't listened yet, take a listen. It's right on our right. Should be right in your feed. So transmissionspodcast.com/rust. You can go there directly to see all the episodes. Check out Yoshi's new page, Transformers Reanimated, and look for the upcoming Transmissions Declassified, where we talk about the journey that Yoshi went on to create a Transformers comic script.
It involved a desert and a whole lot of peyote.
All right, so let's talk about some comics news. Okay, first up, thanks to Ben Yee at BWTF. We have a translation of the Generation Selects manga for the Seacons. So this is all the Japanese translated, so you can read the comic and understand it if you don't read Japanese, but you do read English. Check it out. And thank you to Ben Yee at BWTF for putting that translation out there. Next, we have a new book that is coming out. This is Transformers, a Visual History Art Book. And this is by Jim Sorensen, who he put together the Transformers Legacy art book. He also did the Allspark Almanac for Transformers Animated. This is a hardback book that's going to be 408 pages. And... looks like it's going to have lots of art from all the different eras of Transformers, from G1 all the way up to the live action movies to today, toy packaging, concept art. Looks like it'll be a lot of stuff. This is on Amazon. You can get, there's two versions. There's a regular hardcover for $50 and a limited edition, deluxe limited edition for $100. And they are scheduled to come out November 12th of this year. So get your pre-orders in. Also, IDW has a recent hits sale, and included in the sale are stuff from the previous Transformers continuity, including Lost Light Volume 1, Optimus Prime Volume 1, and the Windblade Distant Stars collection. So Lost Light Volume 1 and Optimus Prime Volume 1 are both $5, and Windblade Distant Stars is $10.
Yeah, and there's a lot more than that. I just, these three were noted as having, you know, price reductions because of the sale.
Okay. And do we know how long this sale is going on?
Usually these sales last a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so check them out. If you don't have the comics, you can...
Sale ends at, August 30th.
Oh, okay, the whole month. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, last bit of comic news. We have an interview from San Diego Comic-Con with Tyler Blazinski, who is the writer on the first story arc from Transformers Galaxies, which is focused on the Constructicons. So it's a nice interview with PixelatedGeek.com, and they have it on their YouTube channel, and then some additional supplemental text on their website. And it was a good interview, and you can really see the passion that Tyler Blazinski has for the Constructicons in particular and Transformers in general. So this gave me a little bit more positive feeling for the potential of this Constructicon story, and how he talked about, one of the things he talked about in the interview was how the Constructicons are both builders and destroyers, and he wanted to kind of focus on that in his story. So I'm encouraged by how much passion he has for the project, and I hope it turns out well. And of course we have Livio Remondelli doing the art on there, and that should be pretty good too. So looking forward to this. All right, so let's get into our comic review for this week.
This week we are reviewing Transformers number 10. This is written by Brian Ruckley, art by Angel Hernandez, pages 1 through 3 and 6 through 13. Anna Malkova, pages 4 and 5 and 19 and 20. And Beth McGuire Smith, pages 14 through 18. Colors by Joanna LaFuente and Josh Burcham. Letters by Tom B. Long, and editors David Marriott and Tom Waltz. Cover A has Chromia with six-shot looming overhead, and this is by Beth McGuire Smith. Cover B shows Starscream vandalizing an Ascenticon sign, and this is by Thomas Deere. And the retail incentive cover is, it looks to be like a poster celebrating the Cybertron War Memorial, and this is by Jeffrey Vregi. It's an interesting, he's a Native American artist. I mean, we've seen a number of his things here, but this one particularly, I think, has Native American kind of designs in here, looking like kind of circuitry based, and then like the Autobot logos here in there. So I just wanted to point that out. I think that looks really interesting. Charles, which one of the three do you like?
I really like Thomas Deere's cover with Starscream. And the and just the detail on Starscream there, the facial expression, the little smirk that captures Starscream perfectly. I think it's the best image out of the three here.
Yoshi, how about you?
Bold move. I'm going to go cover A.
Cool. Any particular reason for your bold decision?
I like the artistic style. I may not like the subjects that are presented, but I do like the artistic style with it. It's got a... Almost a Marvel UK Transformers painted look to it. I mean, Thomas Deere lately has been winning me over a lot, but this, I think I'm going to go with cover A.
Cool. Hey, Daryl, how about you?
Oh, I'm torn. I do like cover A quite a bit. The painted look is very dark. Plus, it features characters in the book. Starscream isn't.
Well, they're characters in the book from last issue.
Yeah. Yeah, they're kind of still out of order.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry, I read both of them back to back today just to kind of catch myself up. So,
yeah.
Right. So, I'm going to go with Thomas's. It's very clean. It's a very good image. I'm happy to see Starscream again. Right? When I saw that it was on a Starscream cover, I was much more happy to see Starscream than I was to see Six Shot and Chromia. So, I'm going to go with Thomas's. It's a very good-looking image, too.
Well, I think that all three images are great this week. I like them all, but if I had to just pick one, I think I would probably lean towards Thomas Deere's. Just Starscream destroying something. It's a nice image, and he does appear in the book, kind of. Yeah, all of them are great this week. All right, on to the story itself. The title is The Cracks Beneath Your Feet, Part 4. Begins with Alita One and Bumblebee meeting Megatron outside the Ascenticons' headquarters. They're escorting him to the Senate as a security force. Along the way, they encounter a silent protest march in honor of Brainstorm and Rebel. As they wait outside the Senate, Alita tells Bumblebee that if she wasn't working, she'd be joining the marches herself. They're happening all over the planet, and Bee worries that the Ascenticons might be blamed for the murders. But Alita says that violence isn't their way. If their policies were implemented, extremists like the Rise would have no reason to fight anymore. Elsewhere, Freud walks by a medical bay where Windblade is in a stasis tube and Sideswipe is being repaired. Freud sees Cyclonus getting up from a table and asks how he was doing and if he's been talking to his deceased friend Paragon lately. Cyclonus is upset when Freud states that Paragon simply died and is demanding that everyone know that Paragon was killed by Pyromagna, and walks off. In the Senate chambers, everything is at a standstill. Each faction is refusing to budge on their positions, and Orion again pleads for Megatron to stand with them as a united front. He finally says that the Autobots still maintain control of the Senate, and as such, Sentinel Prime remains as first senator, and his edicts will remain in effect. Megatron walks out of the session and rejoins Bee and Alita, and as they walk off, the crowd sees him, and someone throws a piece of a nearby sculpture at him. As the members of the crowd advanced, Alita stuns them with a flash from her weapon. Bee tells Megatron to go while they stop the crowd. As the two shock the crowd into submission, Bee doesn't feel right about the whole situation. In the Outlands, Megatron has traveled to a canyon that's being protected by a shimmer field. Once disabled, he sees Shockwave and chastises him for having Brainstorm and Rebel killed. Shockwave is the leader of the Rise, and Megatron brought him back in secret from an exile in order to sow dissent among the populace. Megatron tells Shockwave to keep his people out of sight for a while, and as he drives off, Shockwave doesn't seem too intimidated. At the Ascenticon security facility, Prowl has arrived with a number of trainees. He politely asks Soundwave if Barricade can come out and talk about his recent decision to leave the security forces. Soundwave denies the request, and nearby we see Sentinel Prime has landed and heads directly to the Senate. I enjoyed this issue. It goes back to some of the more political stuff. Not really much action happened, which we speculate this issue and the last issue were swapped to kind of placate a lot of readers by giving them some action, but we do start seeing pieces moving. And before we really get into this, I would like to play something. Last week in alt mode, Charles and Daryl were answering some feedback that was like giving predictions on what they thought would happen. And Charles, this is what you said.
If I were to make a guess, I mean, just based on what we saw from the last issue, so issue 9, the last issue we reviewed last week, I got the feeling that the Rise is probably a shadow organization for the Ascenticons, and Megatron's really in control of everything, and he puts on a face that he's all peaceful and wants peaceful change, but the Rise is his blunt instrument, that he has plausible deniability that he's not in charge of it. That's going to be my guess, is that the Rise is the Ascenticon shadow enforcement organization, and they are planning a much bigger operation that's hidden from view, and that's going to be ready to take over when Megatron says the word.
So that was pretty spot on, Charles.
Excuse me, I have to pat myself on the back several times here.
Yeah, so, as I actually listened to Alt Mode after I had read the review copy, and I'm like, you did a pretty good job there. Just kind of reading the tea leaves and...
He got all the comics ahead of time. He got every single one of them.
Oh, right, yeah. But Charles, seeing as how you're right and you already know exactly what's going to happen, what did you think about how the pieces are being moved? And
I actually was pretty pleased with this issue. I mean, not just I was satisfied that I did that. I was at least on the right track there. But I wasn't expecting to see Shockwave be the leader of the Rise, so that was nice. And to see Shockwave as not being like a slightly different characterization for Shockwave. So not the, not the evil Mr. Spock characterization.
He's cold and calculating, at least that we've seen yet.
So I like that. I also like that even though Megatron is using the Rise as a means to an end, he still has the, quote unquote, noble goals. He doesn't want the Rise to go complete terrorist organization. He just wants them to basically push the Autobots to the point where they start oppressing the populace. And he wants to, he wants to take advantage of that.
Yeah. I like how genuinely upset he seems to be that Rebel was murdered.
Yeah. And, this makes me think of him, and Shockwave himself says, oh, he's just a politician. So, this is not Megatron, the violent military commander. He's a political operative trying to play a political game, but he doesn't realize he's playing with fire. So that's a different take on Megatron, and I like I like how they're exploring that here. So overall, I was happy with how this issue progressed, and we didn't get a lot of action, but we did get some events happening in the story and the story moving forward. One thing I'm curious, they didn't really show what happened to Chromia. Like, you see Sideswipe getting repaired, you see Windblade in stasis, but you don't really see Chromia. So I'm hoping she's still okay, but we're not sure about that.
Well, they mentioned, like, when he was mentioning to Shockwave, you could tell he mentioned Windblade, but I don't think he brought up Chromia.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Chromia was killed, they would have said something like another security officer was killed. So I'm assuming she wasn't actually killed. So,
right.
They do say like one officer had to be put in stasis. So I'm assuming that was Windblade.
Mm-hmm.
The art is still not my favorite. I will say I do prefer Anna Malkova and Beth McGuire Smith. I think their pages were the pages I preferred in this issue, particularly the Megatron Shockwave scenes, I thought were well done.
Okay. The scene where Megatron is going through the shimmer field, I think is a really neat effect. It's kind of like all grayscale except for Megatron, although he's mostly gray.
And Angel Hernandez's art style is still, it's not detailed enough for me, and the proportions seem pretty off with the characters in lots of places. So I'm still having problems with his art style. But yeah, and the colors are really, Joanna LaFuente and Josh Burcham did all the colors here, and those were all really well done. And they all, I think they're expert colorists, so they make whatever they touch look better. And finally we see Sentinel Prime and Starscream and Nautica, and I think we have, what is it, in the background I see Road Rage and I guess Nova Star, not Firestar, and Hound. Interesting that he's pulling a lot of characters that I wouldn't expect, like Nautica, bringing Nautica from the old continuity, bringing in Road Rage as another female Transformer. who hasn't really been anywhere other than the Masterpiece toy, and then Firestar. So it's I like that pulling in those characters, and then having their ship be a Transformer as well. So that was cool.
A nice touch.
So so things are for me. Things are looking up. These last two issues have been market improvements for me. So I hope that continues. So I was very I'm happy with the direction that the story's going.
Daryl, how about you? You've been very critical, and this is going back to the not really any action.
Yeah.
But what did you think of the issue?
Well, nothing happened. So
yeah,
I wasn't enjoying it very much. I don't know, man. It's so much talking.
Yeah, lots of words.
Just blabbing, right? I'm not a fan of all the world building. I read, like I said at the start, I read issue 9 to kind of catch myself up because I missed that one. And issue 9 had a fight. It was short, but it was a fight. But this one, there's nothing. There was nothing in this book that got me excited about it. I'm not a big fan of the art. No, I'm not liking the book right now at all.
All right, Yoshi, what about you?
I think I have to hang out with Daryl more. Josh Burcham is killing it on the colors. I think the art not being consistent all the way through is hindering a lot of things.
Yeah, at least they are keeping the artist like on specific storylines. So.
You know, maybe that was the intent, but I don't know. I really, really tried when this book came out to be like, all right, clean slate, wipe your head. But maybe I'm just too biased. Like, I don't go to see a Jackie Chan movie because he's going to be a lawyer and he's going to win some sort of fucking legal argument. And I don't read a Transformers comic book to understand political intrigue. Like, it's just, it's not in its DNA. And it feels forced. You know, the last page with all these bots showing up, like it's drawn in a perspective that's supposed to be some sort of gasping revelation. It just, to me, comes across as trying really hard to be that, and it's not. I also find it comical that Bumblebee and whatever her face's name Alita is, you know, escorting Megatron around as if Megatron needed help. That's funny, but that's part of the political aspect of it. Being a dignitary and whatnot. I really, really, really want people who are loving this book to write in and just tell us that, just to know how far off center Daryl and I are standing. Cause it's,
well, I mean, we had a couple of that last week.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
don't stop then.
Yeah. We need more,
let us know that you're enjoying it. And, thanks for putting us up with us not enjoying it, I guess.
I don't mind the political intrigue, really, but you got to have some balance.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when Megatron shows up and Shockwave is being aggressive and standoff, you know, kind of wanting to, you know, assert his power, maybe Megatron, you know, breaks him down, busts him in the knee or something like that, or, you know, says, you know what, yeah, I'm the leader and you're going to listen to me and shows a little power. Maybe you get a little bit of police brutality out of the security force. You know, I want to see some action out of this book, right? I don't mind political intrigue. It can be done well, right? Margaret Scott did it fantastically well in Till All Are One.
Yes.
But you gotta have some balance here because this book is like 95% world building, political intrigue, and just character development. And mm-hmm. Yeah, we're starting it, but we're on issue 10 now. And in my eyes, I still don't know what's happening. They're still looking for Brainstorm's killer, which happened in issue 1. Like, is this going to be the thing that overarching story for the series, right? They never ever find out who killed Brainstorm.
Well, I mean, obviously Megatron knows that Shockwave was behind it.
And then, so Rubble's dead, and we know as an audience, Quake did it. Where the hell's Quake? Rubble died in what, issue 5?
The pacing is an issue for sure.
Right? Why haven't we seen and gotten an update of where he is and what he's up to? Did somebody like on Megatron's payroll catch up with him and kill him? I don't know. Like, show that. Show somebody catching up on him and saying, "You idiot, what the hell are you doing?" and taking him out. Mm-hmm. Give me some action. That's all I want. I don't mind all the politicalness, the character building. You got to do some of that because it's the beginning, but you got to throw some action in here because this book is boring.
Yeah, I do like some of the little character bits in here, like Alita One, her being like unsure what like where exactly she falls, but Bumblebee clearly does not feel comfortable with what he had to do. But the pacing is just still so slow. It is a novel writing, and it needs to be faster with comics. I agree with Charles. This issue was an improvement. It's just it's a slow improvement. So hopefully with Sentinel Prime here, with Starscream and his inevitable betrayal, because that's what he does, it'll, you know, pick up pace. But we'll have to see. And we do have the new Galaxies book coming up, you know, in a matter of months. So, all right. Well, that will be the comic review.
So that was Transformers number 10. And let's move on to some Transformers media news.
All right. Well, in media news this week, Michael Bay is back, but only in an interview. They are talking to him, or somebody talked to him, about his time on Transformers. And he just says he had a good time. He was out there to make a vocal kind of movie. I don't understand what that means, but he said it's a lot like Bad Boys and Armageddon. And so he thinks Transformers was a vocal movie. So it was supposed to have big laughs and applauses during the movie, stuff like that. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I'm in the movie theater and people are clapping during the movie, I get really mad. Don't clap during the movie. So, anyway. But yeah, it's not a really long interview. I think they asked him like one or two questions, but they basically just asking him. He said the one thing that he wishes he could take back about doing the franchise is that he's still really upset that he destroyed part of Winston Churchill's house on the last night. So there was an explosion that happened and blew out one of the windows, and it was one of the original, like they call it Coke bottle glass. So
is that?
I think so. It's very thick, I would assume. Yeah. So he blew out one of those. And he said in his quote, he's like, "This house survived the whole Hitler onslaught, and the windows and everything survived. But my explosion 3 years ago blew out one of the windows, and that really sucks." Like, yes, yeah, it does. So, oh well. But yeah, you can read this and take a look. And if you want to reminisce and see what Michael Bay thinks about his Transformers movie franchise, looking back on it. As well, we've got Transformers trading card game news. The War for Cybertron Siege 2 is starting to come out, or it will be coming out in November. So, and it will be debuting with Trypticon. The big bad for this series is going to be Trypticon, which will include also Brunt and Full Tilt and Wipeout. So, yeah. So there you go. It's going to be able to do Trypticon. I wonder if he's going to be like a just a big city type card like Metroplex is, and you got to have one of those. But yeah, so that's kind of cool. So look for that if you're playing the game. And yeah, so it's pretty cool. But other than that, that's it for media news.
All right, and let's move on to some transforming pop culture. All right, well, I thought this was really cool, but apparently no one else cared about it because when I tweeted this out, no one even liked it or retweeted it. But I, since I am an actual engineer, I am subscribed to the IEEE newsletter, and they had a story about an actual transformer that is being created.
Like it's sentient?
This is from Not, we're not there yet, so it doesn't think and feel, but it does turn from a submarine into a half humanoid robot. So this is from Houston Mechatronics. They are building a transforming drone robot called the Aquanaut, and this they have a YouTube video and an article in the IEEE Spectrum. IEEE is the Institute for Electrical and Electronics Engineers. That's the engineering society for all professional electrical engineers. This is cool. I mean, it's a submersible drone. It's a really sleek submarine, torpedo shaped drone, and then it opens up and two arms come out, and they're manipulator arms that it can use to do repairs and maintenance on underwater, structures like, think like oil rigs or drilling platforms, things like that, or places where you need to, where you don't want to send people because it's too dangerous, and you can send this drone to do those kinds of things. So it's just really cool. And you have the interviews with the engineers, and they talked about how, we were all fans of Transformers growing up, and we thought, wouldn't it be cool to make this? But we couldn't just justify making it because it's really cool. We actually had to justify the engineering effort and why this would be a useful tool, how this could actually solve some problems. And they actually, one of the things they talked about in their design process was trying to talk themselves out of making it a transforming robot and just doing it as, just for some other design technique, if they could solve the problem with some other design technique. And they found that no, having this transforming robot mode was really the most elegant solution that they could come up with, and they could actually justify putting it into their design. So I just thought it was really cool.
So what I'm hearing is that you got excited about a long cylindrical metal object that
yeah, just drag us to the gutter, Daryl. Hey. That's
what you don't. We don't realize is we're there already.
We do have the explicit tag. Yeah.
So
I just have two comments.
Okay.
And concerns. One, the only reference to Transformers I could find in this link that you have is referring to it like as a scene from the movie Transformers, which means whoever wrote this is only aware of the live action movies. So that worries me, knowing the state of the probably the best good guy being ruined is in the series. And then also, Houston Mechatronics sounds like a company that could turn into something like Skynet.
Yeah.
Cyberdyne Systems.
the name is, it's a great name for a company that wants to take over the world. Those are just my only two concerns.
Well, I mean, maybe the writer of the article is only familiar with the movies, but if you look at the video and actually they interview the actual engineers who worked on the projects, and they talked about how they grew up watching the Transformers cartoon. So,
I was just criticizing the author.
I don't know the author of the article, so that's his bad or her bad, whoever it is.
Evan Ackerman.
Sounds okay, made up. So.
But otherwise, but yeah. I think it is cool. I look forward to worshiping our new robot overlord.
Yeah, I mean, they do also talk about how they're trying to make it as intelligent as possible because they can't really direct control it remotely. Go. So it has
that's
to.
That's how it all ends. Mm-hmm.
Has to have some autonomy. So yeah, well, we'll see, or maybe we won't see.
We won't see it coming.
Yeah, first they start with submarine drones, and then they have transforming flying drones, and then suddenly your toaster tries to kill you.
Yep. But yeah, no Allspark was involved in the creation of this this robot. So maybe that's transforming our world, not just pop culture. But So let's finish up the show with some convention news.
All right, and some safer news, non-world-ending news. TFCon DC continues announcing guests, and they have announced that Paul Eiding, the voice of Perceptor and the Quintesson from G1, he's also done many voices over the years, and he is joining previously announced guests Dan Gilvezan and Jack Lawrence. So I think this is cool. Paul Eiding has been to many TFCons, but always great to see him back at another one. Next, we have, we mentioned this in the toy show, but also I'm mentioning it here. Thanks to Quattro in our Discord, ages 3 and up at their location in British Columbia, they're going to have Transformers Day, August 17th, 2019. Of particular, I guess, interest to this show, Marcelo Mater is going to be a guest there. Also, Azeem Vinksta of Renderform. And they're going to have deals on their toys. They're going to have custom artwork for sale, giveaways. Check them out. We'll have the address in our show notes. And if you go, and you know, just let us know how it went. You know, this is really cool.
Yeah, take some pictures.
Yeah, I know British Columbia is a bit far for Daryl to drive. Yeah, so if you are on that side of the continent.
It's like a 6-day drive for me. Yeah. But if you're in Burnaby, it's in Burnaby, British Columbia. So if you're in Burnaby, you know where ages 3 and up is likely. So.
All right. Well, that is it for convention news.
All right. And that will do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week. Bow, ba-down, ba-bow.